I'm Dracula's ponytail, Taylor.
And now, why are you carrying around all those stakes? To penetrate other men? Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week, in honor of our 50th episode, which, by the way, thank you for 50 episodes. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to us. We're punishing you. No.
Yeah.
We watched one of cinema's greatest achievements, if not the greatest, Van Helsing 2004, directed by Stephen Sommers, starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Beckinsale. Just an absolute delight of a stupid-ass fucking movie. Ugh.
Platonic ideal of the perfect bad movie, in my opinion.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's a treasure. And we're so glad that we get to enrich your life with it today.
Truly. Do we have to, like, trigger warning for this movie?
Do we?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. There's really nothing in here.
There's not. I mean, like vampires and werewolves and shit. There's some pretty gnarly transformation sequences, I guess.
The plot does involve Dracula's brides, like, trying to bring their children to life. It's complicated. So I guess, like, I don't know.
Miscarriage, question mark?
Yeah, like, I don't know, implied miscarriage, but, like, it's...
But, like, the movie presents it in such a, like, fantastical way. I don't know.
I don't know. It's probably worth warning about, but also, like, I don't quite know how to warn for it.
Miscarriage, question mark.
Miscarriage, question mark.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
All right. Eggs.
Eggs.
Also, trigger warning for bad wigs also. Much
oh,
like last
horrible
time.
Wigs. Horrendous wigs. The opposite of a trigger warning for the best looking screen werewolves I've ever seen.
100% true.
Taylor, what are your memories with this movie? Because I know this is the sort of movie that if you watched it at a certain age, it fundamentally changed your entire personality.
Well, that's a great introduction because I felt that this was the pinnacle of cinema when I was about 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had it on DVD and I watched it constantly to the point where to this day I could basically recite large portions of it. I really for real thought that this was like Citizen Kane levels of capital C cinema.
You were correct.
And I was correct for it, but I didn't quite understand. Like, I thought that this was a legitimately very good movie, and I used to make all my friends watch it. I made my sister watch it 100 times. Sorry, Autumn.
Don't apologize. Autumn should be grateful to you.
She should be grateful to me, actually, for enriching her with cinema. But, it was so on. It was so very on in my house. Because of me. I did that. And then, got very fandomy about it. I used to write fan fiction about it, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And then I kind of fell out with it, as you do. And rediscovered it as an adult, watching it and being like, oh, I think this is a bad movie. But also, like, maybe the slayest bad movie ever made.
This movie, it's a bad movie, but it's also the best movie ever.
Exactly. It's a fundamental failure on every single level, and that is what makes it basically perfect. What about you? What are your memories with the film?
Van Helsing was an aspiration for me.
Mm-hmm.
When this movie came out, I was very much in that age, and Jace was too. We were both very much in that age where you are technically too young to watch PG-13 movies, but you really, really want to.
Mm.
And I also grew up in a very sheltered household. My mother did not want us watching this movie, but Jace and I wanted to watch it so very badly because we were both into, like, werewolves and vampires and all that kind of stuff. And we saw this movie and we were like, oh, cool, the perfect movie ever. And I want to watch it. I think we were also just sort of burgeoning horror fans. And that also contributed to it.
You are correct for that, though.
I remember very distinctly my aunt on my dad's side bought Jace a bunch of the, like, toys that came out for this movie. And we had them around for a long time. He had, like, Van Helsing, he had Dracula and Frankenstein, and I had the werewolf. She gave me the werewolf because I was the werewolf bitch.
Yeah, you were.
I remember very distinctly, it was like, the figure was at its base of Velken, the guy who turns into the werewolf, but there was like a rubber skin that you could put over it and turn it into the werewolf. And that skin never came off because, God, why would you want fucking Velken when you could have a werewolf? I think we might have had two. One for me and one for him, because I never wanted him to use it. Beside the point. I don't actually remember the first time I watched this movie. I just remember that it was a big deal, and I felt very grown up and cool for watching Van Helsing, finally, after probably months of begging my mother to let us watch it.
You were cool.
I was cool. Can I tell a story about this movie that is completely very funny?
Yes.
So, I'm going to date myself here, but around this time in, like, 2004, we had a family computer that we all shared, which, like, if you tried to do that now, there would be genuine bloodshed. But it was one of those, like, Windows computers where you all had your all separate little desktops, like, with the icons. People who are my age know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we had one of those, too.
Yeah. So Jace and I found wallpapers for our desktop that were of, like, the monsters from this movie. Like, mine was the werewolf, and his was a picture of, like, the vampires in bat form, or, like, the baby vampires or something like that. And at the bottom, mine had no text. It was just the picture of the werewolf. And it was, like, scary and gruesome, but it wasn't, like, you know, graphic or anything. It was just a spooky, realistic werewolf head. His, however, had the word demonic underneath it. Just, I don't fucking remember why. It was just one of those 2000s things where you had the wallpapers with the random fucking words on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, the thing about my family is that my parents are very devout Catholics. So, they saw that wallpaper of Jace's and they had to sit him down. I think they sat both of us down. I don't know why they sat me down. Probably because mine was also scary. They sat Jace especially down and were like, you can't have that on your desktop. You have to change it. And I cannot for the fucking life of me remember if they made me change it or not. But I do remember being like outraged. And Jace was also outraged. And he was telling me, because I brought this up to him, to see if he remembered it, because I knew I was going to talk about it on the podcast. And he was like, yeah, I just remember sitting there and being confused and baffled, because to me, demons were, like, on the same level as, like, Halloween shit, like vampires and werewolves and ghosts.
Yeah.
It didn't quite click with him, the, like, religious aspect of it. And I think that was the point at which my parents should have realized that they were raising an atheist.
Oh my God, that's so fucking funny.
So that is Van Helsing's impact on my life. It was a formative influence.
And it was correct to be so.
It was.
So Yas and Slay.
Shall I tell our viewers the plot of Van Helsing?
Please do.
Famed monster slayer Gabriel Van Helsing is dispatched to Transylvania to assist the last of the Valerius bloodline in defeating Count Dracula. Anna Valerius reveals that Dracula has formed an unholy alliance with Dr. Frankenstein's monster and is hell-bent on exacting a centuries-old curse on her family. Together, Anna and Van Helsing set out to destroy their common enemy, but uncover some unsettling secrets along the way. Not true, by the way. There's no unholy alliance between Dracula and Frankenstein's monster in this.
No, he just keeps kind of trying to capture Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. But,
like, the Frankenstein doesn't want to be there.
He just wants to, like, go off and live in the woods by himself, and I say we should let him.
Yeah, same, bestie. Me fucking too.
This movie is pure unadulterated camp, and I love it so much.
Everything about this movie is a delight to witness. There's nothing bad in it, actually. I've decided.
The thing about this movie, there's one bad thing, and I will bring it up later. The thing about this movie is that it is deeply stupid, deeply flawed. However, the vibes are so choice that it just doesn't matter. 100%. The vibes of this movie are so sexy and so choice that I do not even care what else is wrong with it. It's just, it's delight. It's a delight.
I want to become a shifting person just so I can live in this universe, you know?
They should have just given Stephen Sommers the Dark Universe.
Oh, completely agree. This is so, like, what if the Dark Universe had come to fruition in a good way and not in the, like, shitty Tom Cruise The Mummy movie that they made?
Stephen Sommers, by the way, also directed The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Yes, which are good movies, which is bonkers.
They're good movies. I feel like they have a similar vibe to Van Helsing, though. Like, yeah, Van Helsing is what if The Mummy was bad.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I have so much to say about... Okay, can I want to start off this thing saying that we have lost something in our society, okay? And that thing is elaborate DVD menus.
Okay, real as fuck.
I still have the DVD that I owned in 2004. It is in my brother's room right now, and we watched it, and we brought it up, and the elaborate fucking DVD menu that is so... it's so good came up, and we were both, like, just sitting there like, this... Why did we lose this? To, like, the shitty minimalist DVD Blu-ray menus we have now.
We need to go back.
We need to go back.
Yeah, I remember that DVD menu, and you're so right.
Also, we had a DVD and also an HD DVD in our DVD case.
You know when that was a thing?
Remember when that was a thing? The HD DVD would not play on my 4K player.
Oh, no.
No, we had a regular DVD that played just fine, so it didn't really matter, but I thought that was funny. But yeah, like, the menu looks like Dr. Frankenstein's lab. It's got, like, lightning effects and shit. It's fucking sick as hell, and we have lost that, and I just wanted to get that out in the open before we start actually talking about the movie.
You're so correct and real for that. However, I do want to start by saying nobody in this film had an accent coach. And nobody is doing the same, like, nobody is, number one, doing the same accent. No one's accents are good.
Hugh Jackman can't decide if he has an accent or not.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman can't decide if he's British or American. He's kind of, like, flip-flopping between the two. Like, he's, I guess, kind of trying to go for, like, a transatlantic thing, but it's not coming across.
It's really hysterical because he's Australian.
And then fucking Kate Beckinsale is out here, like, with an accent that's, like, kind of Russian and kind of racist.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale's accent is a lot.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale's accent is doing a lot. And then Richard Roxburgh, also Australian as Dracula, is the only one with a consistent accent. It's not good, but it is consistent.
Richard Roxburgh's performance in this movie is everything to me.
I also this do man... want to say, before we move on to talk about Richard Roxburgh, and then Shuler Hensley, who plays Frankenstein, again, kind of going for British... kind of just going for spooky.
Yeah.
I love it for him.
It's great. It's great. No one can decide what accent they have or if they're doing it well.
David Wenham, who is just using his normal British accent as Carl.
He's the only one. He's the only one who's consistent, except for Richard Roxburgh, who, like, his accent is consistent. However, the rest of his performance is doing so much that you don't even really notice.
Every day of my life, I think about the way that he sort of delicately comes down when he comes out of his coffin in that one scene. Like, the way he sort of flutters down after he screams.
Oh, it's so good. This man, I think he's the only one in this movie who knows exactly what movie he's in.
That's not true, because I think that the brides knew.
Okay, no, you're so correct. No, 100% you're correct.
Especially Elena Anaya, who plays Alira, the redheaded bride. She knew exactly what fucking movie she was in.
And they're, both of them, all of them, are having the time of their fucking lives with it. It's so good.
Richard Roxburgh, whose job is mostly just to, like, scream and, like, just chew the scenery, take massive bites out of the scenery.
And be homoerotic with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of homoeroticism in this movie, by the
Richard Roxburgh knew that Van Helsing and Dracula were exes. Like, in my heart, I know this about them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Jason and I had this conversation while we were watching the movie, because he watched with me. We were both like, yeah, they definitely fucked, right? Yeah, they absolutely did.
Because my favorite thing about the character of Van Helsing as presented in this film, because he's just, if you haven't seen the movie, he is not Van Helsing from Dracula. He's just not. Mm-hmm. It's a new guy. It's a different guy.
I hope you're about to say what I think you're about to say.
Like, the whole thing with him is that, like, he is just Wolverine again.
He is just Wolverine again.
Like, it's like guy who is immortal adjacent, like, lost his memory somehow, and is like a cool fighty dude.
Also kind of implied to be the Archangel Gabriel?
Not implied, outright stated in the novelization, which I did read as a 12-year-old.
Why didn't I read that novelization?
Yeah. It's on, like, archive.com. I've, like, perused it recently. It's also not very well written.
I might have to check that out.
It's, like, not very well written.
It can't be any worse than the Crimson Peak novelization. It can't.
It's true. It really can't. But, yeah, they outright state it. They also state in the novelization that he has scars on his back in the shapes of, like where his wings were ripped off.
Stop!
Yeah.
Oh, I wish that's so, like, DeviantArt OC. I love it.
It really is. So, yeah, he's fully the Angel Gabriel. And, like, when he gets back to the Vatican at the beginning of the film after killing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
Can we please talk about that when you're done with this? Because
yes, absolutely, because that scene is insane. And I do have a story about it. So when he gets back to the Vatican and he's conferring with the his cop boss guy, like he's doing like the like James Bond cop movie, like you shouldn't have done that, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, let's tell you your backstory so that the audience knows it. And they're like, when we found you crawling up the steps of the church half dead without your memory, like as an adult, we knew that you had been sent to do God's work. So then they brought him into this like secret society fold and were like, well, time for him to hunt monsters.
It's just
insane. And he is the Angel Gabriel, according to the novelization, which is really good.
I am, but like, fascinated by the fact that Van Helsing just works for like a Monster of the Week prompt.
Yes.
Like a Monster of the Week campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Love it. Love that it's multicultural. You see like a fucking monk walking around in the background and there's like something like blows up and someone yells, "What in the name of Allah are you doing?" It's great.
Yeah, it's like explicitly a multicultural monster fighting organization that is inside of the Vatican.
Which is the premise they should have gone for the Dark Universe, but they didn't because
but they're
cowards.
Didn't.
Anyway, I want to talk about Mr. Hyde because Mr. Hyde interests me. Wild that he's in Paris, in Notre Dame.
And Van Helsing literally says to him, like, oh, I missed you in London or something. So he was in London at one point, like in the fucking book, and then for some reason went to Paris.
I just, like, was it something about the rights to Quasimodo? Or did they just want to, like, weirdly pay homage to Quasimodo as a universal monster without actually having Quasimodo? Because it's clearly supposed to be Quasimodo.
Well, the thing, too, is that, like, Quasimodo is a movie, not Quasimodo, Hunchback of Notre Dame was a movie that Universal did make. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was made by fucking MGM. So, like, Universal doesn't even really own that. Like, he's, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is not one of the Universal monsters.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it literally makes no sense. And also, he is played by Robbie Coltrane.
God,
okay, I guess.
Notice. I didn't even notice.
It's literally like dude is voiced. By the way, when I say played, what I mean is mo-capped by Robbie Coltrane.
Yeah.
Because he is a giant CGI beast.
Also, they show his ass, and it's honestly better than seeing MODOK's ass, so I'm not actually complaining.
You do see crack. You do see Mr. Hyde crack, and he's huge.
Yeah.
And so is his crack.
Yeah. But again, it's better
proportional.
Than,
proportional.
It is better than being drunk in the theater for Ant-Man Quantumania, already miserable, and then seeing MODOK's ass.
Jump scared by MODOK ass.
I almost had a fucking fit. Anyway, we're not talking about that movie, and we never will, because it sucks.
So my story about this scene is that, so I watched the movie this time with friend of the pod, Jade, who was visiting me this weekend. And we blew out our voices screaming at it. Which is great, which is why I sound a little like this right now. Like we both woke up this morning and we were like, huh, interesting.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that room or hanging out with you guys, because Jade is the funniest person I know, and I would have loved to get her firsthand observations on Van Helsing.
It was so fucking funny. So when this scene happened, like, the beginning had already, like, the beginning is kind of slay, honestly. My opinion on the beginning of the movie is that it kind of goes off, like, legitimately and not ironically.
It does.
But then it gets markedly worse in the next scene when we get to Mr. Hyde. So, it's like we're in Paris, we're in Notre Dame. And I turned to Jade, and as Van Helsing is walking into Notre Dame, I said to her, okay, who do you think he's going to meet in there? And she was like, Quasimodo. And I was like, no. And she was like, is Frankenstein in there? And I was like, no. And then literally, like, Mr. Hyde swoops in and, like, Van Helsing hits him with, Mr. Hyde, you are wanted by the Knights of the Holy Order. And she, this was the first genuine scream laugh that I got out of her.
The first of so many
that we both blew out our voices. It was so fucking funny. We also could not stop making jokes about the Music Man Broadway revival, because Hugh Jackman is currently playing Harold Hill in the Music Man revival, and Shuler Hensley, who plays the Frankenstein monster, is playing a minor role in the Music Man revival on Broadway currently. He sings the song Shapoopy, which I don't know if you guys know anything about the Music Man, but the new revival has rewritten the lyrics of the song Shapoopy to be politically correct. So every time Frankenstein was on screen, we kept scream laughing and going, just gasping for air, going, woke Shapoopy. Like Frankenstein would do anything and we would just be like, Shapoopy, Shapoopy, Shapoopy. Like, it was indescribably chaotic vibes.
I wish to God I could have been with you.
And yep. Also, the last thing that we did before I dropped her off at her train today was that we listened to Woke Shapoopy in my car in the parking lot of the train station. Oh, evil. Evil.
I love that. I love that.
Music Man revival. Bad. Not a very good revival. Man... Mr. Hyde sure is in Paris for no fucking reason.
He sure is there for no fucking reason.
But you know the thing about him?
What?
The thing about him is that there is a cartoon, a TV movie about the encounter that Van Helsing had with him in London prior to this.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
It's not good. Like, it's mostly about Mr. Hyde trying to fuck Queen Victoria.
Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah, back when I was, like, 12. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just kind of heard that it happened and didn't really look it up.
Yeah.
Also, second, like, childhood movie that I thought was really good but is actually bad that has Mr. Hyde in it, the other one being League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
This movie and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen are very much, like, cut from the same cloth for me.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, entwined in my mind.
They're both, like, the same type of guy.
And they both rule. But they both do rule. I really want to talk about the wardrobe in this movie, and in order to talk about the wardrobe in this movie, I think we also need to talk about the Sexy Vampire Masquerade. And Taylor, did you know that if your movie does not have a Sexy Vampire Masquerade in it, it is automatically inferior to Van Helsing 2004?
Completely agree with this. I did know that, and I agree with it.
Automatically inferior. Citizen Kane, inferior.
The other fucked up thing that Jade pointed out when we watched this is that entire masquerade ball sequence is basically like beat for beat from the Roman Polanski movie Fearless Vampire Killers.
Stop.
Which we know because it was adapted into a musical called Tons de Vampire, which is very good. The movie actually isn't very good, but the musical is very good.
Oh, I know Tons de Vampire.
The entire time we were watching this fucking ballroom scene going like, yeah, all of this is just what happens in the ballroom scene in Tons de Vampire. Where, like, Steve Barton should be here and he's not.
Does Tons, I haven't seen Tons in a while. Does it have, like, the same kind of thing with the mirror?
Yes.
That one shot changed my life.
Yeah, it literally does the shit with the mirror. Like, that is how the vampire hunters in question get found out, is because there's a giant mirror in the ballroom, and they are the only people with reflections.
That one shot of Dracula dancing with Anna, where it turns around, and she's the only one reflected in the mirror, changed me as a person. Completely changed my life.
It is so fucking good. It is so fucking good.
However, I, for years, I think have just superimposed a better dress onto her. Because, oh my god, the dress she's wearing in that scene, for real, is hideous.
It's a really ugly dress.
It is so ugly. And I'm usually, listen, I love a long red ball gown. Obviously. Look who I am. Look who my Blorbo is. I love a long red ball gown. But this one has, like, these weird, like, sleeve frills and, like, feathers on, it's, like, sticking up from the sleeves. And this, like, absolutely fucking hideous, like, yellow trim. It's disgusting. And I was genuinely shocked because I think I've just been imagining her in a better dress this whole time. And
yeah.
I was like, the scene was approaching. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get to see Anna's gorgeous dress. And it was that. And I was just like, completely caught off guard. It's such a bad dress, Taylor.
It's a really ugly dress, and I hate the weird dress. like frills on it, on the bit that attaches to her wrist.
It's bad. It's so bad.
A really ugly dress, and her hair is bad too. I don't like it.
My favorite thing about Anna's hair is that it is just perfect the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like perfect 2004 ugly barrel curls.
Yeah.
Like unbrushed out barrel curls.
Mm-hmm. But it never gets like must or anything. It's always just like perfect curls.
Speaking of Anna's outfits, I do want to have a quick discussion about her like main outfit, which is three words. 1800 skinny jeans. That is all.
Yeah.
Just, like, a complete affront to every piece of, like, this movie is obviously not trying to be historically accurate, but it also is just, it's fun to make fun of 1800 skinny jeans. Yes. And also corset that does not serve the function of a corset. Like, it cuts off before her boobs and does not offer the boobs any support, even though it is a support garment.
I did want to dress like her when I was a kid, though.
God, didn't we fucking all? I also wanted to dress like her. I will say that it does look sexy when she's not wearing the jacket.
Yes.
I do like the blouse, and I do like the detailing on the blouse. Unfortunately, the corset is ugly and covers it up, and the skinny jeans are bad. With, like, riding boots.
Heeled riding boots. This, like, woman is running around in heels this entire movie, and it's extremely stressful to watch.
What is she doing? What does she think she's doing? Like, Trixie Mattel voice, what exactly did you think that outfit was doing?
It's such a, like, pre-discussions about women in action movies movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it so fucking is, because it's so, like, her character is so, like, she's set up to be powerful, but then all she does is be victimized by the narrative. And it's really funny.
She, like, does...
movie that wants to have a girl boss, but is also, like, afraid of having a woman, like, God forbid, a woman do anything.
I do think she and Alira do lesbianisms together.
Me and Jade could not stop talking about how they were for sure exes.
Absolutely. She calls her my love at one point.
Literally. Like, they do lesbianisms. And, like, the two of them specifically have a way more intense rivalry than any of the other brides with Anna. It's always like, oh, this is Dracula's enemy. We need to kill him. We need to kill her with the other brides. And then with Alira, it's like, no, I want to kill you because I am your enemy and I don't like you specifically.
And also I want to fuck you.
And also I want to have sex with you. And I'm taunting you homoerotically the entire time.
It's great. Hey, while we're on the discussion of the brides, okay. So... The mechanics of the vampire babies are a little insane to me.
Yes, let's get into that, because...
Let's talk about this, because, okay, the vampires, when they assume, like, a bestial form, right, they're based off of bats. Bats, which are mammals, and give live birth. They have... The lady vampire bats have tits.
Yeah. They sure fucking do. Smooth down below and nippleless tits up top.
Yeah, it's pure Barbie doll anatomy. But it's there wonderful. There are breasts that presumably function. I mean, we don't see neep-nops, but that could just be under the fur. However, when we see the vampire babies, they're in egg sacs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to know what that looks like on a visceral level. I am scientifically curious about how that works, though.
So Frankenstein also says at one point, like, oh, like, it's, and by the way, if you have not seen the film, which you should, why are you listening to this without having seen the film? But like, it's a masterpiece. Right, but like, Frankenstein does mention there is a massive room, like a huge room full of these fucking like nasty, like gym, like punching bag style, like egg sacs hanging from everything.
It's very alien.
It is very alien. And Frankenstein says at one point, he's like, that was just one litter from one birthing from one bride. And it's like,
so how long
did it take, and what did it look like when she gave birth to it? It's not a fetish thing.
It's not.
It is the opposite of a fetish thing. I'm perversely fascinated by it in a way of, like, I know it would be disgusting. I want to know what it was.
Morbid curiosity.
So morbid curiosity. Like, how did she fit all of them in her?
Also, you can tell, because, like, this movie is PG-13, but it was, like, kind of marketed to teen boys. You can tell, 105%, this was made in the era of, like mid-2000s gross-out toys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember if there was, like, a nasty little slime element to any of the action figures that Jace had, but I would not be surprised if there was some toy or another that was, like, based around the nasty little egg sacs. I'm also curious about how bringing the babies to life works, because you would think that bringing something to life, Frankenstein style, you just zap it once and it's alive, because that's how it works for Frankenstein's monster. But for some reason, the vampire babies needs, like, a continual battery being zapped over and over again, and I'm just sitting here like, what happens when it's not, like, thundering anymore?
Yeah.
What happens, hey, you can't just keep doing that, it's always going to run out. Why do the babies all die when it runs out? What's going, like, I understand that at the end, when Dracula is killed, all the babies die, but what's going on with all the other times when all the babies die?
The other thing, too, of watching this with Jade is that before we got to the, like, vampire egg sacs scene, and that scene is pretty far into the film, I would say, because this movie...
Yeah, it's like halfway through.
Yeah. I turned to Jade and I said, now, before this next scene starts, I do want to ask you, what do you think Dracula's plan is? What does Dracula want? And she looked me dead in the eyes and said, Taylor, I don't know. I could not tell you if you paid me $1 million what Dracula's plan is. And
he
then
wants
we got
to
the egg sacs.
That's his plan.
Yes, exactly. And then we got to the egg sacs. And again, it was just scream laughing at the audacity of it. Like, of all of the master plans for your big Universal Monster crossover movie to, like, this is Dracula's evil plan, he's got to juice the egg sacs to bring his evil babies to life.
You know
what?
That's
the plan.
Here's my question. How ready is Dracula for parenthood? That's a lot of babies.
The brides seem to be pretty good moms.
That's a lot of babies. They all need to be treated as individuals. They're all going to need to be raised. They all need college funds.
It's going to be a 101 Dalmatians situation.
Yeah.
Like, for fucking sure.
I will say to our listeners who have not seen this movie, which, why have you not seen this movie? Please go watch it. The babies are all just horrible little creatures. Like, they're not aminals. Baby babies. They're creatures. They're little bat creatures. They're not...
Yeah, babies. They hatch the first time, and immediately they're like, okay, time to teach them to go hunt, and they're, like, flying around, and...
Yeah, they're terrorizing the village, which, God, I love a Hammer horror village.
I love the village. The village. It's so good.
My
and also, like,
resident...
the woman in the village who exists to fuck the not-funny comic relief guy.
My favorite resident of the village is the Undertaker, who they set up as being, like, kind of an important character. Like, he's given a precedent in the scene at the very beginning, and then we see him again at the village, and he seems to be, like, lurking around. But he just, like, gets totally fucked by the werewolf right after, yeah. Like, he tries to kill Van Helsing for no reason.
Unceremoniously murked by the narrative. It's like they wanted to do something with him, but then couldn't think of something that was fun enough, so they were like, no, I'll just throw him out of the plot.
Which, like, hey, can we transition to talking about the werewolves? Because the werewolves in this are... To this
the only
day,
good thing?
To this day, the best looking CGI werewolves I've ever seen.
Fucking so real. In a movie with so much terrible CGI, somehow the werewolves are like immaculate, impeccable, no notes, 10 out of 10.
Especially Van Helsing werewolf at the end looks incredible. And I'm like, why? Why is it that every time someone tries to do werewolves, it looks like shit?
And it's even funnier because, like, the big Dracula bat thing that the Van Helsing werewolf, like, does combat with at the end,
yeah,
looks like shit fuck.
It does.
The face is gonked out. Like, it looks weird as hell. It looks terrible. Like, it's clipping weird. It's bad 2004 CGI. And yet every single werewolf in this movie looks amazing. They clearly put way more time and effort into the werewolves than they did into any other CGI creature in the film.
Here's the thing. The werewolves in this movie are more wolf than human, and that is a good thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is a good thing. Every other werewolf tries to do the Lon Chaney thing, and I get it, but you need to understand, they could not do a snout back then. They couldn't. It was just completely beyond what makeup could do at the time. You are not Lon Chaney, okay? You're not Lon Chaney. Do a snout. Give the werewolf a fucking snout. Make it more of a wolf than a human. Stop giving me these horrible little, like, shaved rats and give me a fucking werewolf. Make her a girl.
And pet like Buppy.
And pet like Buppy.
It is so bonkers how much better the werewolves look in terms of just, like, the skill of the CGI than anything else in the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious that, like, so much time and effort was put into the werewolves that was just, especially the brides who just, their facial expressions are fucking weird and
bad.
Their bodies move wrong.
They're so smooth.
They're so smooth. Like, again, like, I wasn't expecting vampire bride pussy on my screen, but, like...
I was.
I, you know what? Actually, I was lying. I was expecting vampire bride pussy on my screen, and I was disappointed I didn't get it.
I actually need more vampire bride pussy on my screen at all times.
Don't
always.
We all? Honestly... Resolution for the time, like, inevitable future when someone tries to reboot this movie, which they tried and failed to do, by the way, in the early 2010s, which is funny. Guillermo del Toro was supposed to be involved. Yeah. And then he dropped out, but...
We lost something. That sent us down a darker timeline.
Beastly Kingdom Universe for fucking real.
Oh my god.
Like, imagine if we got a Guillermo del Toro Van Helsing remake. I would have become insufferable.
Well, we are getting a Guillermo del Toro Frankenstein, which is, like, one third of the way there.
That's true. This is the beginning of the new Dark Universe.
Hey, can
and
I tell
God
you...
thank God for it.
Yeah, can I tell you a mortifying story?
Oh, please.
So, just to set this up, there is a part in this movie where they are transporting Frankenstein's monster somewhere. I don't remember where. But they're bringing him... somewhere in, like, a carriage, and they're driving the carriage through the woods, and the soundtrack is banging. Let me, quick aside, the soundtrack of this movie goes hard.
They were trying very hard to chase the Indiana Jones theme, and it was working. Like, they were doing it.
It goes so hard. I love the score of this movie. Anyway. I was reading an old fanfiction of mine. Sorry. More context. There is a point, there's just a line in this movie where they're like, nothing's faster than Transylvanian horses, or something like that. And I remember that the title of that piece of the score was Transylvanian Horses. This is important. So I was reading a fan fiction of mine, right? It was a Haunted Mansion fan fiction about my OC.
Work.
And at one point, she goes out to, like, a carriage because she's, like, going to a ball or something. I don't fucking remember. But her brother says to her, Father says the horses are from Transylvania. And
stop it.
In that moment, I felt my blood run cold, and I just whispered to myself, Van Helsing.
Oh my god.
Anyway, what if we drove a flaming carriage through the Carpathian Mountains while a werewolf chases us and we're both girls?
This movie has like 7 climactic battles.
And they're all slay.
Like, it's like the horse chase thing, the horse carriage chase thing, the ballroom thing, and then the fucking, like, thing in Dracula's castle in his... Okay.
One of three castles.
Dracula lives not in Transylvania, technically. Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, lives in Transylvania, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Is Transylvanian, which, like, okay.
Insane. Sure.
I'm willing to suspend my disbelief. But Dracula, notoriously from this area of the world, it lives in a pocket dimension, which is accessible inside of Anna Valerius's house through a painting.
Because that's where you want to hide your, like, secret base, is inside the house of the guy who wants to fucking kill you.
Yeah, really, like, really, really funny. And it's
super,
like,
smart. Super smart. He's playing 4D chess with all of us.
He really is. He honestly, and, like, the fucked up thing too is that, like, this is just an aside, but, like, when they're talking about, like, Dracula's backstory in the movie, and they mention that, like, he is technically he's the son of Anna's ancestor. And I was like, oh, huh. So he's trying to fuck his great-great-great-great-grandniece. Something.
Listen, you can cut this out of the podcast. She does fuck her brother, though.
Okay! I'm keeping it, because me and Jade kept saying this. Those two, Anna Valerius and Velkin Valerius, brother and sister.
They were fucking...
They have sex. Like... The way that she looks at him, the way he looks at her, the way she touches him, the scene where she finds him in Dracula's castle tied down to that horrible thing, and, like, he's shirtless and sweaty, and she's, like, touching him and being like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, listen, I'm not the type of person who sees it everywhere. I'm not the type of... listen, I make fun of Doug Walker for saying that Raggedy Ann and Andy must be involved because he gave her a flower and said, I love you. I think it's stupid. But, like, they were having sex.
Like, they were fucking. There's no other explanation. I'm sorry.
Kate Beckinsale was fucking her brother.
There was incest going on in the Valerius family tree. I'm sorry.
And apparently Dracula wants to continue that trend by having sex with his great-great-grandniece and also his great-great-grandnephew, because him and Velkin have some scenes.
Again,
Dracula, so bisexual.
So homoerotic, this movie.
This is a movie where everyone has chemistry except for Kate Beckinsale and Hugh Jackman.
It's really good.
Zero chemistry. They did not. They kiss. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot they were love interests.
Go girl, give us nothing.
So I am stealing this entirely from something that Seth Rogen said on the How Did This Get Made episode about Van Helsing. But it did not occur to me until he said this, and now it's suddenly all I can think about when watching this movie. So Van Helsing, putting aside the Angel Gabriel thing, which is not stated outright in the movie and is only vaguely, vaguely implied. Van Helsing, adult man, lost his memory, driven to fight monsters. knows in his blood it's important that he kill Dracula, right?
Right.
Is introduced to the Valerius family, who are like, their entire family line is dedicated to killing Dracula.
Okay.
Why is his first thought not, I'm probably related to these people?
I don't know, Taylor, because the movie says it shouldn't be.
He's like, you know what I should do? I should have sex with this woman. But also, like, me and Jade were talking, and I don't think Hugh Jackman has ever played a character who has sex. I don't think Hugh Jackman fucks.
You don't think Wolverine fucks?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Not Hugh Jackman Wolverine. Wolverine, conceptually, yes, but when played by Hugh Jackman, I don't believe he fucks.
I don't know if I agree. I don't think Van Helsing fucks.
Van Helsing for sure does not fuck.
No, actually, Van Helsing fucks, but he only has gay sex.
Yeah, that's true.
Wolverine, I think, fucks. And I have to, like, make that a point of contention between us. I do think Wolverine fucks.
You know what? I accept your dissenting opinion. However, I do think his version of Harold Hill is bad, specifically because that version of Harold Hill does not fuck.
Hey, Taylor, I don't know who Harold Hill is.
From The Music Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm back on my Music Man bullshit, because we kept making jokes about the Music Man revival when we were watching this goddamn movie.
Okay.
Because it has two cast members from the Music Man revival in it for some goddamn reason.
I mean, the people who did the Music Man revival watched Van Helsing and were like, yeah.
We theorized that maybe Hugh Jackman asked for Shuler Hensley personally.
Oh my god.
Which would be really funny, because he did personally ask for Sutton Foster to play Marion.
That's really funny.
So it is possible that he was like, yeah, this guy I worked with, that's my Australian accent.
Beautiful.
Yeah. On a movie called Van Helsing, I'm Hugh Jackman.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
I know.
Is Hugh Jackman in the room? Oh my god.
Hugh Jackman is here. Hi, I'm Hugh Jackman.
We got him on the podcast, everyone.
Let's talk about my film Van Helsing. Crikey, that was a fun film to make. I did some stunts on a carriage. I was in front of a green screen a lot of the time. And much like Wolverine, I had no memory. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I can just do the whole rest of the podcast as Hugh Jackman, but I won't. But I could, but I won't. But I could. Right. Also, just pivot, because there's no natural way to bring this up, but I do want to say it.
Okay.
Frankenstein in an ice cube.
Frankenstein in a motherfucking ice cube.
That's all. That happens.
I think that Stephen Sommers sat down, just ripped the fattest, like, fucking...
Like, hitting the blunt real hard? Like,
hit the blunt so fucking hard and was like, yeah. All right, guys, I need to figure out the climax of Van Helsing.
I think he wrote every scene the night before they filmed it.
I agree, and he did it high as balls.
Yeah, he was high as fuck writing this movie, and it was always the night before. They were like, you have the script for the next scene, right? We're filming in Dracula's castle tomorrow. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I got that.
Totally, fuck, 100%.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
My favorite thing about this movie, hands down, is that every second this movie asks, what is the sickest thing that could possibly happen right now? And it just does that.
Movie that was written by a 13-year-old boy.
And that 13-year-old boy is a genius.
I thought you were going to say that 13-year-old boy is Jace, and I was about to agree.
That 13-year-old boy is Jace, actually.
Yeah.
This is a movie that appealed, and I say this with so much love, directly to, like... And if I was 12 when Van Helsing came out, he would have been doing basic math in my head... 9. So this
9
appealed,
years
yeah,
old.
Directly to 9-year-old Jace's sensibilities.
Yeah, god.
I love this movie.
It's a perfect movie is the thing. Like, it's so awful in the exact opposite way that something like Phantom of the Opera is awful. Like, it's awful in such a slay way.
It goes so hard that you cannot help but love it.
Like, it's so committed to the stupidity of it.
There's so much earnest, like, energy to this movie. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
It's literally just like, what is the coolest thing that could happen? We're doing it now.
And they do. And it's fucking great.
And it is. And it slays. It slays the house boots down Houston, I'm deceased. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, and also just like, man, everyone has the worst wigs in the film.
The worst wigs. Dracula's wig is so bad.
He's so serving like Saved by the Bell, like Kelly Kapowski hair.
Oh my god.
Like that little like ponytail moment.
Why does he have a ponytail?
Because, yeah, and so, like, I remember being deep in the Van Helsing fandom trenches, which is a sentence I get to say.
Hey, Taylor, did you?
I did. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, looking back on it now, why? He is the most sexless Dracula that there has ever been or ever will be. He is listen, I said Hugh Jackman was unfuckable. Richard Roxburgh Dracula is unfuckable.
Completely, and that's why he and Van Helsing have sex so much.
I don't understand why I wanted to fuck him. Because I don't now. I don't watch the movie and be like, oh yeah, I get it. I remember. Because some things I'll go back and be like, I remember why my like 12-year-old self was really into this character. I watch Van Helsing and I'm like, he's so just weird little guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have sexy energy.
No, like, the thing with Dracula is that Dracula is, like, a powerful sexual magnetism. And Richard Roxburgh Dracula is just giving, like, whiny boy. Like, whiny child.
He's not horny at all.
No, as evident by the fact that him and his brides never kiss each other.
They skate away into the wall.
They do things adjacent to kissing. They sure are breathing on each other very hard and, like, moaning into each other's faces.
Hot.
But they are not kissing. They are very much not kissing.
I believe that those brides kiss more than they do kiss him.
100%. This is so, like, the thing with the Brides of Dracula is that it's, like, it's really a gamble whether it's, like, all three of them are married to Dracula or... like, they're also fucking each other. These three are for sure all fucking each other. Probably more than they're fucking Dracula.
Absolutely. 100%.
Like, they're very gay.
Yeah.
They're so very gay.
They really all just want to fuck Anna.
Also, like, I feel like the reason that Anna has so much sexual tension with Alira is because Elena Anaya is, like, a lesbian in real life.
Is she?
She is.
I am delighted by this information.
Like, long-term married to a woman is always in Spanish movies about lesbians. Like, Elena Anaya is, like, out here being gay IRL. And so I fully believe that she did that on purpose.
I love this for her so
much.
Gay
people have rights, and Elena Anaya gave us all of ours.
It's true. The way that, like, this movie is sexless, but also... deeply sexy.
Yeah, somehow, like, it's nobody is fucking and nobody is thinking about fucking, but also, like, everybody is kind of fucking. Except for Van Helsing and Anna.
It's a paradox.
It's an Ouroboros of terrible.
It is, and it's wonderful.
And every time I watch it, I learn something new and fun. Because I've seen it a million times, and I will never ever get tired of it.
Ever.
I also just love to see, and I just also love to see a movie with a lot of Saw lighting. I miss that early 2000s, like, green, where everything was just fucking green.
So much. This came out the same year as Saw.
Yeah, it did. 2004, baby. And Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera and Saw all came out the same year. What a world. What a world they lived in back then.
Imagine going to the theater in 2004 and taking your pick between Van Helsing, Phantom of the Opera, and fucking Saw.
When did Van Helsing, like, come, like, when did Van Helsing come out?
Congratulations to him.
Congratulations. I'm so happy.
I'm so proud of him. He's living his truth.
Okay. This movie came out May 7th. So it came out before Saw and before Phantom. So there probably wasn't much of a chance that this was in theaters at the same time as Saw or Phantom, there probably was actually absolutely no chance, because Saw was October and Phantom was December. There is, however, a slim chance that Saw and Phantom of the Opera were in theaters at the same time, and that I think is delightful.
That is very, very good.
2004, a year for film.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't six at the during that year.
Oh, I don't like that you were six and I was 12.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Once again, the age difference rearing its ugly head.
It's real bad. I hate the age difference. I always forget about it. Can I just say really quick? Probably one of the only portrayals of Frankenstein's monster I've seen in a on film that is like articulate. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was neat. He's not as much of a dick as he is in the book, though.
Yeah.
Probably because Victor Frankenstein in this isn't as much of a dick as he is in the book either.
Victor Frankenstein having been completely manipulated into doing everything by Dracula, apparently, which is really funny. He's just like a complete innocent who got like duped. And like in the novelization, it is explicitly that Dracula is doing mind control on him.
Seriously?
Yeah. The novelization, actually, the whole beginning bit of the novelization is just, like, a long backstory bit about Dr. Frankenstein talking, like, Elizabeth and Henry Clerval are brought up.
Oh my god.
Which is insane. It's really wild. But, like, explicitly Dracula is, like, doing mind control on him to make him want to do this stuff.
I have to read this.
It's not good, though.
Taylor, I've read not good novelizations before.
That's true. You have braved some of the greatest horrors, parentheses, the Crimson Peak novelization.
Oh, just like an absolute... Anyway.
A horror show.
But yeah, I thought that was neat. I thought that was cool. I can't remember ever seeing another Frankenstein who wasn't like Boris Karloff.
Mm-hmm. Which is even funnier, because like this is a universal joint. Like, you'd expect them to go with the Boris Karloff Frankenstein, and they just don't.
I'll be interested to see what Mr. Del Toro does.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so fucking excited.
That movie's going to make sweet, sweet, delicious love to me, and mm-hmm. I'm so ready.
Yes, that movie's going to cradle me so gently in its arms and just tell me everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. That movie is proof that we are not in the darkest timeline we possibly could be.
That's true. Because
Guillermo del Toro is making a Frankenstein movie.
We're not in the Superstar Limo universe.
Yet.
I think that's all I've got for Van Helsing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you haven't seen this movie, you have to. Like, I'm not giving you a choice. I'm holding a metaphorical gun to your head at this very moment.
Please watch Van Helsing.
I need you to, you know those memes of like the like black and white like hypnosis spiral? I need you to imagine one that says you want to watch Van Helsing, you want to watch Van Helsing so bad.
So fucking bad.
I have never been more passionate about getting people to watch this movie than I am about Van Helsing. I genuinely, not enough people have heard of it because it made no money.
Which is a shame. They clearly were setting up for sequels.
They wanted this to be a friend. They wanted this to be Indiana Jones so fucking bad.
And in a perfect world, it would have been.
But it's also crazy that they wanted this to be like a massive franchise, because it's like, we got all of the Universal monsters in the first one. So what is left?
What's left is that we bring my wife into this, obviously. I guess,
other than the Invisible Man. Oh, and yeah, and the Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring my wife into this.
My wife.
But yeah, in a perfect world, watch Van Helsing.
Five-star film.
Five-star film. Nope, 5 stars. I don't care. 5 stars.
Fuck you. 5 stars. Like,
fuck you. 5 stars.
If you disagree, you're wrong. Like, it's a perfect film. It's the worst, one of the worst movies ever made, and is also perfect.
It's the worst movie ever made. Also, the best movie ever made.
It is Van Helsing. It is, you know...
If you put this movie on, you will have a great fucking time.
Get fucking drunk and watch this movie. I'm sad I didn't.
Oh, I should have gotten drunk and watched this movie.
Like, the funniest thing was that, like, me and Jade had been joking about getting high before we watched it, and then we just didn't, and we were, like, kind of grateful that we didn't get high before watching this movie, because it does replicate the experience of being high, because it's so bonkers.
Was that nice, Taylor?
You kind of just don't need...
Would it have been nice to get high, Taylor? Yes. Would it have been nice?
Yeah, it would have.
Listeners, I cannot get high via edibles.
We learned this recently.
Last weekend, and I'm very sad about it.
We'll find a way.
We will. Life finds a way.
Life finds a way, parentheses, getting to stoned. To get stoned, yeah. But yeah, Van Helsing, watch it, please.
You want to read us some Letterboxd reviews, Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Please do.
I would fucking love to. So I do a segment on this podcast called Live, Laugh, Letterboxd, where I read funny Letterboxd reviews. And this first review comes from featuring Dante from the DMC series.
Love it. That is their username.
Dracula's Earring, reblog if you agree, 5 stars.
I'm reblogging, spiritually.
Grace Spellman says, the horniest movie I've ever seen, 1 star. Somehow.
The 1 star really makes it.
In a similar vein, Mario just says, hot, 3.5 stars.
Yeah, correct.
Caitlin says, dream job, Bride of Dracula, to be honest, 1 star. I would love to play one of those brides. Like, they just seemed like they had the most fun on set.
I did play a Bride of Dracula in a production of Dracula.
So did you take inspiration from Van Helsing?
A little.
Manizalik says, this movie cost $160 million, 0.5 star.
The best $160 million ever spent.
Oh my god, how did we never mention this? Sophia says, why does Count Dracula have Oompa Loompas?
Oh my god, the fucking little guys, the little creatures.
They're called Dwergies?
Dwergie?
Like, Dwergers. I love it. Yeah.
Dwergie. They're little goblins. They suck.
They're just beasts. And for some reason, Anna is able to understand what they're saying.
Can I be real? Didn't you have those in our fucking Monster of the Week thing?
Yeah, I did.
You had those horrible little guys. They were working for Dr. Pretorius, yeah.
Yeah, I sure did.
So I don't know if you all are familiar with the Bride of Frankenstein maze in Universal. You should be. Go look up videos of it if you're not photosensitive. It's great. Very important to know, in that maze, there is a scene that takes place in a graveyard. And friends, some of those prop graves, you guessed it, were from Van Helsing 2004. Because it's Universal and they just reuse props.
They used to use the laboratory set as like a walkthrough in Universal Studios Hollywood.
I would honestly not be surprised if some of those laboratory props found their way into Bride of Frankenstein Lives.
Absolutely would not be surprised. Ames says, why must a movie be good? Is it not enough that Hugh Jackman wears a cowboy hat and looks fine as hell?
It is enough. It is more than enough. That's all
it's
we need.
It's enough for me. God. And that is the last one that I have, because shockingly, not a lot of funny ones.
People were making, like, long posts about Van Helsing?
Yeah, a lot of people just like, this is the worst thing ever, and here is why. And I don't understand it. How do you not love love?
I pity them.
Love wins.
I pity them. Genuinely, I pity them.
Imagine
living without that kind of joy in your life. I feel
sorry. Nobody understands this movie the way that you and I understand it.
It's true.
We're the only people who understand that it is, like, the Room of monster movies.
Oh my god, it so is. Jace literally said to me, like, it's giving Wusso.
His performance is so giving Tommy Wusso.
It's giving Wusso. And it's, like, brilliant.
It really is. It's very high, babe. I got something for you.
I can't stop talking about this movie. We need to wrap this episode up, but I just have so many things to say about it.
Okay, rapid fire. I do have a few more things I want to say before we go.
Go.
The thing where Carl like drops down and like saves a woman from a vampire, and then she's like, "What can I ever do to repay you?" And he goes pss, 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 in her ear, and she goes, "You can't do that. You're a monk." And he goes, "Actually, I'm just a friar." And then they fuck. The only sex in the movie is between the comedic side character and some random lady that he extorts for sex? Question mark.
It's a lot.
Weird. 2004 hadn't quite figured out consent yet, I guess.
No.
Also the bit where they're like, oh, garlic, holy water, steaks, we're packing you all the things that you need to kill vampires, and also this gadget, which gives you a light source equivalent to that of the sun, but we don't know how that'll come in handy.
I love Why don't you know that? Like, how did that come in? How is that going to come in handy? Gee, I don't know, Gabriel, you're fighting vampires, and
why
dumbass. And
why would you make something like that if you didn't know, like, for your monster hunting organization, if you didn't know immediately know that it was going to be used on vampires?
Hey, Gabriel, you're a monster hunter. You should know what a fucking vampire is. That's 101, baby.
Also, he's like, Dracula. I thought Dracula was a myth. You just fought Mr. Hyde.
You're the Archangel Gabriel.
You are the Archangel Gabriel, and you're like, I thought Dracula was a myth. Anyway, I fucking... That's really all that I had to say, but, like, I wanted to get those two things out into the open because they are both deeply stupid.
They're both really important.
And I love them. I would like to talk about anything else.
Okay. let's talk about what movie we're doing next.
Yes, absolutely.
Next time, we will be venturing back into the realm of Rombert Zombert, our good friend Rob. And we will be watching The Devil's Rejects, and we will have a guest on to talk about it.
Yes. Our first guest in a while.
Friend of the pod, Elle, will be back to talk to us about The Devil's Rejects, and we'll probably have a lot of feelings about the Firefly family.
Yeah. And Eleanor will have smart people things to say.
She will. And that's good, because we just spent an hour talking about Van Helsing.
Frankenstein in da ice cube, you know?
Frankenstein in da cube.
Put that guy in a cube. Get cubed on, idiot.
Get iced, idiot. Things you can say about both Van Helsing and Saw 5.
Wonderful.
No, not Saw 5. Was it 5? No, Saw 4. Sorry.
Saw fan card fucking revoked.
I haven't watched the Saws. I was just saying this to Meeks because we were watching Christian Saw. I haven't watched the Saw movies in so long. So if you liked what we did here today, in the meantime, you can follow us at FGF Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also give us a good rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, do whatever it is you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know you enjoyed our little show today, and we will see you next time for The Devil's Rejects. For the love of God, watch Van Helsing.
Please.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.